California. You're listening to WBFY LP 100.9, Belfast, Maine.
And this is Vic Treadwell speaking for Belfast Community Radio. I'm here in the Waterfall Arts Basement Studio with Mayor Eric Sanders. Hey, Eric.
Listen to what the man said.
Right.
Paulie Mack.
So what's the news? What's the views?
You can hear the people say, lots of stuff. You know there's music playing. That's why I'm singing along. There, it's off now.
I thought I killed it.
Listen to what the man said. It wasn't Wings.
It was somebody called Owl City.
So what's the news? My father-in-law from Atlanta, Carl Miller, just put on Facebook, see how a sneeze can launch germs much farther than 6 feet. And I responded, no thanks.
Yeah.
And my wife just responded, get on that mask, Carl Miller. He's 80, probably 83, lives down in suburban Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And as this unfolds, you find generational responses that aren't automatic. Like, you know, we have Dr. Fauci on the... things, but you know, it's like some of the more seasoned people out there take their time getting around to stuff, so it's the way it is. So, a little father-in-law teledoc Facebook stuff. Other than that, city's doing a lot of stuff, doing good stuff. I've got some questions here that were emailed in, and we'll get to that, but yeah, things are good. It's getting long, isn't it? It's getting long. I look forward to these Friday 3 o'clock shows, and I really enjoy doing them. And then I say to myself, am I just giving Vic variations of the same news/non-news? But there has been...
things change week by week.
They do.
And of course, if you listen to public radio like the morning show and so forth, it's all COVID all the time, pretty much. Slight variations here and there.
Yeah, the newspapers, I read them online as best I can. I don't subscribe to many, I'm hearing that newspapers, of course, are eager for their stories to be about it as well, and so society's fixated on this.
Sure.
And we all are. And when you fixate on it for what now, a couple months now, you're like, you know, am I ever going to be able to fixate on anything else? I guess that's where mentally I feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and did yard work today, and that was good with my kid. And it felt liberating. Unlike Trump's tweets to liberate states, it felt liberating to rake my damn yard.
Yep. And Charlie, the other guy here at the station, president of the station.
Charlie Crane.
He and I went out and helped some people who's had blowdowns across their driveways and stuff. And again, it felt good to get out there with he had the chainsaw, but you know, to get out and be doing something physical outdoors. Useful.
Yeah, something physical. It makes you if you can forget about it for 10 seconds. Of course, the cell phones don't help, right? I'm sitting here with this, they just don't help because it's right there anytime.
Yep.
It's reflexive, but I got out there, I did yard work, but I mean, Jiminy Christmas, what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? Like, I'm like, can we get some good news? I saw a video, that video of the Jay plant blowing up.
I haven't seen it, no, I've heard about it.
So there's a trucker or somebody behind a log truck, they're all in line waiting to go into the mill. And, I mean, it was straight up like a rocket ship. Nobody was killed, just a few. But, I mean, when you saw that, you were like, I need some good news. You know, and that ain't good news, baby.
No,
you know?
That's not.
So it was just like, it was that kind of week. But last night, Chicago, there's a clinical trial. And like, I'm a doctor, like I know everything. There's a clinical trial in Chicago, and there's an antiviral drug that they've been using that has a rapid recovery rate, and that people that have the coronavirus heavily are able to back off of that critical real fast and be released in less than a week. So that's caught some people's attention.
Cool.
And then, you know, with time, because the governor extended the shelter at home through May 15th, again, if it's May 31st, or I don't even know if there are 31 days, but I mean, it's going to be, we'll be lucky to end it on May 31st, because right. you want the separation. You know, it's a virus. And then there's tall pines, right? Oh, right yeah. here in our community.
Right.
And again, there was an article in the, I don't know if I can bash newspapers on your show, but I will.
Sure.
The Portland Press Herald, which I read on Sundays online as best I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had a factually accurate, based on facts, Medicare study, or they have a survey, and Tall Pines got a 1 out of 5. And, you know, there were things, cleanliness and all this stuff, and they went through all the details. And I said to myself, there's live bodies over there in our town that do not need to hear this crap right now. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
And I just felt really agitated mentally that, you know, when you're down on your luck, that's not the best time to be kicking you. Mm-hmm. And Tall Pines is very important to our community. I know people in that facility. I know people's relatives and good people. And they don't need to hear that jazz. What they need to hear is there's lots of cleaning going on. They're doing their best. They're doing better than their best.
Mm-hmm.
And support them. Don't kick them when they're down. So I just got a text. There's, you know, there's more. I think it looks like 28 residents, 10 staff, and 2 people have passed. And, you know, that's been my concern all along, loss of life.
Well, and you were saying earlier, how many is the patient base out there?
Well, see, this is how unknowledgeable we are. We all know where Tall Pines is. You pass it on the highway or Congress, mm-hmm. but it is a multi thing. So one side is this, the other side is apartments,
right.
And so, but there's, you know, 28 people that have the coronavirus, and elderly people tend to live in nursing homes.
Yep.
And so they're vulnerable. You know, we should be like, what can we do? What can we do? And that's what the council's doing. They're like, and come to find out, what Tall Pines needs right now is employees.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiring. They're looking for help. I heard the pay is really good, of course.
Sure. It's hazard pay.
Hazard pay and all that. But that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
About a month ago we started this. You know, how about some hope? How about we give people hope and not just, although apparently factually accurate, probably not the right time and place. So
right,
I got off my soap stand, but I had to say that because I've never even been in Tall Pines, but I know my kids, when they were in school or in elementary school, they would go there to do Christmas carols and stuff.
Yeah, I've actually been there many times. The Belfast Bay Fiddlers used to go there like once a month or something a group from there. And we played at both of the facilities, the one that was for the more intensive people and the one that's more like apartments and stuff.
So I'm sitting here shaking my head because I'm like, what? I guess my point is, when you get up in the morning, if you've got a job, of course, you got to be safe and careful. And if you're an essential worker and if you're lucky enough to have a job, then you got to be careful and all that. But and if you're at home, and if you're high risk, and or you've been furloughed or laid off, or you've been told to stay at home because of this, that's another thing. But I just think right now the community is doing a really good job mm-hmm. of supporting our community and each other. And I just want to reinforce that, because that's hope right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Belfast Keep the Faith Fund that the council did approve on Tuesday night, you know, I had said to them a couple of weeks ago, if we can get this dang thing in action by April 15th, that will help short term before these small business loans and FAME things. I read today the however many billion-dollar program the government's shuttered because it's all done.
It's all subscribed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that took a week and a half, two weeks. I know Bank of America went up with it on 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. All that money has been
sucked out.
Yeah. And now what about the small business owners that didn't get that? And then you got FAME and you got all these other things. And it's just going to take time. My 18-year-old, mm-hmm. and I should just stop right there. My 18-year-old
okay.
Sid's like, when am I getting my stimulus check? Right? And I'm like, that's a good question. So, you know, I owed, or coordinate, we owed the last couple of years. So they overnighted a direct deposit to the people that had gotten money back. Mm-hmm. So the IRS had their routing and deposit number from that. So that's who got that's the first $80 million or whatever. And I guess some of that was screwed up. But the other of us that paid, they're going to paper mail those.
I see.
And I guess it's 60 million Americans. Hmm. And they are looking at being able to paper produce about 5 million a week. And they're going to go, apparently, they're going to go with the lowest income first to get them the stimulus first and middle class and whatever.
That makes sense.
So it could be mid-June, mid-May. And that was one of the reasons that the council wanted to do something now.
Because they could.
Because they could, mm-hmm. and because they should.
Mm-hmm.
And they did.
Yep.
And then they did this GoFundMe, which is all over social media. Mm-hmm. But they've raised, I can check it out real quick, in one day, I was talking to Neil Harkness while I was raking my yard, and he stopped by very briefly. We spoke from 6 feet away.
At least.
But in one day, the Keep the Faith Fund from private donations, forget the city's 150. Right. So it's at $3,310 in one day. So the goal all along was people that wanted to help beyond the city's taxpayer water help, people that wanted to contribute. This is an outlet for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally for two things, $100 food vouchers
mm-hmm.
and small business grants. Mm-hmm. I think it's $500.
Yeah.
Those two things I kind of think are very important to Belfast right now. And so it is something we could do and we did.
Cool. Hey,
and now I've talked 10 minutes straight.
Excellent. Actor, politician, and raconteur Eric Sanders is here with me in the basement of Waterfall Arts.
And it's good to be here, man. It's good to get out a little bit.
Yeah, here we are in a windowless room.
Well,
almost
it's
windowless.
Me and you, Vic.
Yeah. Well, and if you'd like to join us, the number here at the station is 338-2277. You can call in during the next half an hour, 45 minutes, chat with the mayor and this town of Belfast. Those who've got their ears on, that is.
Yeah, I've got some. So I had some questions here.
Emailed in.
Emailed in from Petra. Is it Petra or Petra?
Petra.
Petra. I had gotten these and I forwarded them to the council, but I didn't respond. Just so you know, as mayor, if I ever get an email from any citizen or anything with any concern, mm-hmm. I immediately forward it
mm-hmm.
to the rest of the council and the city manager. I mean, it's like 10 seconds. And then everybody will know mm-hmm. what your question is. But these questions, one was about cruise ships, and then we got a question about brown-tail moths. But cruise ships, Belfast, Bar Harbor, other ports have gotten some economic benefit from such things. I would say Bar Harbor got a lot of economic benefit. But it doesn't seem like this would be worth it in the foreseeable future, does it? Question mark. Well, so I don't vote. So mayor, no vote.
On the council.
On the council.
Is. Yeah.
on electronic paper, it it doesn't seem like it would be worth it. But it's April 17th.
Yep.
We just talked about antiviral drugs in Chicago that are in a clinical study, Gilead Science. I am not at liberty to tell you what's going to make economic sense in June or July. Bar Harbor is not going to allow cruise ships until July 1st. That's, we know, and perhaps that's optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
No cruising here too, Belfast Bay. Okay, well, we shall see. Kathy, our harbor master,
yeah.
Pickering, will be involved in any decisions like that with the council.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the question very well, and I wouldn't see how cruise ships would be booking cruises in June or July to start with, never mind asking for permission to
dock.
Right. So I'm not sure that the question is ever going to need to be asked until after July. I would say Boston University came out this couple nights ago saying they're not going to start their fall freshman class until January of 2021.
Wow.
So who knows? Our school just went remote learning the rest of the year, figured they would.
Mm-hmm.
There are some planned graduations in August. Who knows? I do know right now through May 15th, we are in shelter at home.
Yep.
And I am relying on the governor, Dr. Shea. And I would say the governor is also involved in, you know, these little, California, Oregon, Washington,
right.
West Coast states, East Coast states, Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm hearing Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont are also going to do that. There is power in numbers with our current president yearning to open things up by May 1st.
Right.
Our decisions so far, a month ago, I don't know how many cases we had in the state, but we are starting to get close to 1,000.
Right.
So that's the other thing that is very irritating about this coronavirus is it's a slow climbing day by day number, and where it stops no one knows, but we do know that social distancing definitely works. Masks, they can't hurt,
right?
So second question, brown tail moth alert. I got a story about that too. Perhaps we could all use a reminder of how to deal with it. Okay, well, I know Bernier, I don't know his first name, Tree Service, he's out there cutting. Mike Hurley cut some. Norman Gilmore and I walked the rail trail looking for it a few weeks back. Right now, it's apparently you can cut the sacks out. I know a guy that lives in Lincolnville that I work with. He paid a tree rigger $600 to do his trees.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of a whole bunch of brown tail moth larvae, bags. Took it away. He goes for a walk the next day in the woods. He comes to work. This wrist looks like a burn victim.
Mm.
This hand, same thing. Eyes kind of swollen. The brown tail moth, the fibers are like little darts, you know, and they...
Right, kind of like asbestos used to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Little tiny prickles.
So the question is, did it get upstaged by all the coronavirus information? No, but it is in tandem with it.
Yep.
People are out cutting the sacks and hiring people to do that. I would not advocate that you go out and do it unless you're an arborist.
Mm-hmm.
Licensed would be valuable, but in the state of Maine, just an arborist would probably work.
Yeah.
But areas of concern around town, along the rail trail. It's not the domain of this Parks and Rec Department. Again, Norman Gilmore, the city maintenance director, and I, with my dog Henry, walked the entire rail trail about three weeks ago. when you could see everything, because the buds haven't budded yet, but they're starting to swell up. We saw one little bush that had it. So where it's at from year to year varies, and but people are looking out for the city. I hope that doesn't answer your question, Petra, but I tried my best. Last question. I love this one. Just heard by someone who went over to the transfer station trash and some recycles cans were being accepted. No. No. The email I got the other night was somebody went out to the transfer station. There's yellow police tape or caution tape across all the bins. There's tape across the front. So what that means, folks, it means you don't. But I guess somebody came up and said, hey, I just got cans. Is it okay if I throw them? And I'm being told that the person said, sure, throw them in there. And so they did. That's one isolated case. Not a great idea, because I don't want our city employees touching anything. And recycling glass, metal, plastic.
Right. Stuff that's been breathed on and handled in your kitchen and your
bottles,
house.
Bottles. Bingo. Yeah. So I don't want that. The council, the city manager doesn't want it. So the decision is no. We will, and other towns are doing it a couple of days a week. Well, bully for them.
Yeah.
Let's hope nobody gets sick.
Yeah, but the
we're not going to do it.
Yeah, and the trash is not handled by employees at all.
No.
We just go out and throw things in the dumpster and put some money in the little bucket.
There's a old 1950s or 60s wooden election ballot box.
Oh, that's right.
And so you stop at the stop sign, by the window, you look. Then there's a car. When the car leaves, then you can drive up to the trash. You throw your trash in, however many bags times $3.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in the ballot box. You get in your car and you leave.
Did I hear something
crazy about how that works?
Did I hear something about cardboard at one point?
Well, cardboard for businesses,
right?
And cardboard in cardboard. So a lot of our businesses, we live in I don't mean to chapter size stuff, but we live in a UPS FedEx world.
Mm-hmm.
So people are ordering stuff, boxes all the time, businesses, boxes. Most businesses are closed right now, so that limits the number of cardboard. But the city is accepting cardboard from businesses in Belfast that need to get rid of it. And if you look at the videos, the guys and gals out of the transfer station, they push all the cardboard with their elbows and stuff. They don't have to actually physically touch it. Mm. Or they wear gloves and stuff.
Yeah.
If you're sorting the other recyclables, that's where you're running the risk.
Sure.
The other thing is the value of recyclables right now sucks.
Right.
So as our transfer station director, Mike McFadden, says, put everything in the trash. Because that's where it's going right now anyway.
Yep.
So there's your answers, Petra. Not great news probably, but honest answers to your questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect more next week.
Okay. So once again, 338-2277 if you'd like to speak with Mayor Sanders. And in semi-public, you're on the airwaves.
Wow.
All 15 of our listeners or whoever they are out there. And
well, this gets rebroadcast, and you get at least 30 or so.
Yeah, well, we're going to run this, the recording of this tomorrow at noon, as we've been doing ever since we started these. The station is also broadcasting the audio of the city council meetings Tuesdays starting at 7. I was very impressed that you guys got in just exactly at 2 hours.
Well, we won't this coming Tuesday, but thank you. Oh, there's a phone call.
Ah, we got a phone call.
Probably
hang on while I punch buttons.
WBFY, hello? Okay, hang on a second. Let me switch you over to him.
Hey, hello, who's this? I can't hear anything, Vic. Hold on.
Caller. There you go. Hello?
Hello. Yes, it's Pat Haggerty, and I live here in Belfast, and I have a question for you regarding information to the public. I was wondering if the city sponsors a forum for the public, which would be easily accessible with any and all necessary information to navigate Belfast during these challenging times?
Ms. Haggerty, that's a great question, and we do. In terms of, do you own a computer?
Is that I do.
Okay, so the cityofbelfast.org, cityofbelfast.org. That's
okay.
The city's website. On the city's website is every speck of information and forum, if you will, to get information in a transparent way. Also, I don't know if you use Facebook.
No.
Okay,
not
that's
really.
Fine. But mm-hmm. the cityofbelfast.org on a computer, you'll come to the City of Belfast website, and that has every piece of information on it that you could need. And if you don't have the answer to that, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, you can call. And and we have people in the office answering the phone.
Oh, that's good to know.
And let me give you the number.
Okay.
It's area code 207-338-3370. Okay. And let me give you my cell phone number. Because if it's a Saturday or Sunday, they are not there. My cell phone number is 207-322-6806. And I would be able to answer any question that you have and or give you directions or help you out in navigating the website. Did you have a particular question for the...
Well, you know, and I know the information changes on a regular basis. For example, the different hours and protocol for doing business, say, with the grocers in the city, be it Hannaford's, or I think they just changed their senior citizen hours. They moved it from 6 to 7 a.m. to, I believe, 7 to 8 a.m.
Yes.
And I think they even changed their store hours. I mean, there's information all over the place, but I was looking for it to be centrally located. And then, of course, and the co-op, who have been doing spectacularly, I think. I just give them lots and lots of credit.
Agreed.
For how they've really stepped up. But, for example, I heard the other day that there were independent vendors, small vendors, say, wanting to sell seafood and things like that. But where, when, what? And, I had no idea where this was taking place. Somebody said it was in Rennie's parking lot. But
yes, it was a couple of Sundays ago. I don't think it was advertised originally. They just showed up because, of course, with the restaurants closing in the state of Maine, for the most part, for all, you know, all the restaurants being closed, the fishermen and lobstermen have no place to sell their wares.
Right.
And it sprung up a couple of Sunday mornings ago, but it wasn't licensed or something, is my understanding, as it couldn't be because it's just guys with coolers. But it was all done pretty rationally, but that was not information that was given to us to get out. It was just something that happened. Vic wants to weigh in, though.
You know, here's another piece for you. The farmer's market is still going on. It went on this morning here at Waterfall Arts, 256 High Street. There were 10 or 12 vendors there selling food, all of them with their masks on. I bought a couple of things. So that's every Friday starting, I believe, at 9...
9 o'clock
to noon or
to
one.
Noon or 1, and also on Saturday mornings, the old Matthew Brothers building down by the common, Miss Haggerty,
the United Farmers Market, yes,
outdoors. So on what street is that?
Miller, I think. And there's another street.
I think
too.
You're right. Yeah, it is Miller. So if you go down past the library and keep going on down. It's on that side. It's the same side that the common is on.
Yep.
And they are having an outdoor market, if you will, instead of indoors. Not as large,
mm-hmm.
but they're having that on Saturday mornings.
So tomorrow morning.
tomorrow morning. Now,
okay.
I'm going to tell you, if you do me a favor and you promise to go to the cityofbelfast.org website in the next week, I'm also going to call them after this show and make sure that they highlight. This is the second time I've had a question about this, and I'm really glad you called. I'm being serious. I had another resident who asked why, you know, why the city or the mayor wasn't telling people when Hannaford's were open. And it doesn't occur to us that there are people that might need that information. So I'm going to make sure the city website has the Hannaford store hours, the co-op store hours, the farmers markets, and the market over here at Waterfall Arts, and anything else that's relevant to people that don't use, you know, what I would call Facebook and things like that, or don't normally go online. So just more general information.
Exactly. I mean, and even, you know, even who's operating car service repair, or you know, or a car transport, or I don't know. You never know what you're going to need from one day to the next, and what the protocol is for health services. I mean, who do you call at Waldo Hospital? Just the central number, or
well, we did. We have a number that we had. Dr. Heather Ward was on the show last week.
Uh-huh.
And so we had about a half an hour conversation with her, and Vic's going to get the number for you. My understanding is, and let's take general health questions off the table for the moment, but if you feel suddenly that you feel like you might be sick or coming down with the coronavirus or something, you're to go to your primary care physician first if possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will gauge whether or not you need to go to the hospital. Of course, there's always the emergency room, et cetera. But right now, the hospital is heavily staffed and not heavily utilized because they're kind of waiting for this wave, right?
Well, and that's actually good news to hear.
Well, I thought so, too. It was a very good interview with Dr. Ward. And with all of the things going on at Tall Pines, like our concern for them is real. And I heard that the hospital is directly working with Tall Pines now as well. So these are good things. It's
excellent.
A small community.
Yeah, and if you're interested in hearing that interview, you can go to BelfastCommunityRadio.org. All of these shows that we've been doing are available on an archive there.
Okay, that's good. And then lastly, what about testing?
Well,
any information on testing?
I'll give you some personal information that I heard yesterday. That's about as close to real time as I can get. I have a friend of mine who I work with, whose husband was tested. They thought he might have it, and they tested him about a month ago. So that lady went home from work, and we paid her to stay home because you don't want people that may... that are spouses of people that may have it.
Yes, of course.
So that test result took 3 weeks to get back. Now, this is a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
He still got, it would appear, double pneumonia or something. So Wednesday, another doctor said, you know what, I think that test was wrong. I think you have the coronavirus. You have all the symptoms. Let's do another test. They got that test result back, which was negative again, by the way, thank God. They got that test result back in 12 hours. So part of my concern a month ago was if somebody was sick and they took a test, they'd have to basically sit around for 3 weeks, perhaps getting worse while they were even waiting to see if they had it.
Well, I think that information is changing by the seconds. What is available, what is coming available, and of course it's preferable to have a test that can be detected within hours, I think, instead of weeks. So,
well, it's the type of testing, and it's also the pipeline is a lot faster now. So do you own a television?
I do.
So I would encourage you, if you have the ability to watch daily, they have the main CDC with Dr. Shaw does a daily update on Maine Public Broadcasting. So Channel 13 or whatever it is.
Usually about 2 o'clock.
Yeah, usually at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day. And that's where I get my most immediate information.
Okay.
And it's live, and he takes questions after he gives, and he's a very gentle and gentlemanly person. Like, his humanity is just what we need. But he's becoming a daily go-to for me to listen to.
Here's another daily go-to for you. We consider WERU our big sister station. They've been around 30 years. We've been around 3 years. They're doing a daily, every weekday report. Used to be at 2 o'clock, and now it's moved to 10 minutes of 4. In other words, it's going to be on in about 15 minutes. Their main COVID summary, or whatever it's called. That's 89.9 FM, and at 3:50 every day, they're doing a 10-minute report on the radio.
Excellent. Okay. Well,
I've also got that number for you. What the doctor said was that if you don't have, first of all, if you think you're getting sick, you should call your primary health provider. And if you don't have one, the hospital will help you find one. The number for that is 207-505-4022. That's their Find a Provider referral service.
Okay.
And they also pointed out that vets should call TOGAS, where they get their primary care.
Okay.
I don't have a number for TOGAS, but pretty much every vet already has that somewhere in their files.
Okay. Well, this is all good general information, and will certainly ease my concerns about what to do if, and I'll certainly check into the cityofbelfast.org.
You do that, and I'll make sure that we get updated grocery store hours, that, for lack of a better phrase.
Sure, and other essential services.
Other essential services. I don't know what I can do about car repair, because that might come into a competitive nature, but I can tell you personally that I've used Gibbs Auto on the back of Belmont Road for 15 years, and he's open, Bert Bailey, and... But I don't know about transportation. I know you could contact Waldo Cap and see what's available if you needed to get around. But if you have a question and you can't get an answer, I gave you my cell phone number. Please do call me, and I will.
You gave the whole town your cell phone.
Well, that's fine. I have no problem doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I will not take advantage of that. But you did put it on the air, I believe.
Oh,
so
I have. It's
I may
fine.
Not be the one. But anyway, I'm very grateful to both of you for shedding some light on this and pointing me in the right direction should I have any questions. So far, so good, but I'm always thinking ahead and preparing for what could and hopefully will not be.
You
but
and me
it,
both.
Nevertheless.
Excellent.
Blessings to you.
Stay
Thank
safe.
Thank you, and everyone be well.
You as
Thank
well.
You.
Bye-bye.
Well, that lifted my spirits. You know,
very good.
I appreciate people that ask good common sense questions. I had heard, the food voucher, let's talk a little bit about the what the Keep the Faith Fund is that the city approved, if you don't mind. So let's talk food.
Okay.
The city is offering, and you can call, you can do it online, you can mail it in, or probably calling is the best way, and then I'm not sure how they would pass it out the door to you, but they're offering, or maybe it's you just go to Hannaford to the customer service desk and they will have called. Jody Stout is running a program called The Ring of Caring. And she and Thomas Kittredge, our economic development director, and Zach Schmeschler, our town Belfast executive director, and Steve Ryan, executive director of, how many executive directors does it take to have a committee for Chamber of Commerce? They are looking for people that need food. So if you are a person in Belfast that has a food need, the city of Belfast is offering $100 food voucher. Mm-hmm. That's either to Hannaford's, or the co-op. The co-op, which Ms. Haggerty talked about doing an awesome job, and I would agree, They're throwing in a free bag of groceries on top of the $100 of groceries you buy. Hannaford's clearly is where I would go if I needed food badly and I had $100 to spend and I had a family. That's where you would go to get what I call food stock.
The basics.
The basic of the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And things that'll keep in a cupboard. And so the city's offering that to people that need it. And, you know, the national unemployment numbers came out a couple of days ago, and they were now over 22 million Americans unemployed. And we have a population of 350 million. And you say to yourself, well, that's only 8%. But not all 350 million Americans work.
Right. We got kids, and we got
seniors. So I think it's around 20% unemployment. And so in the city of Belfast, there's folks that have lost their jobs temporarily, permanently, who knows, furloughed, go home, but take a leave unpaid. You still have a job. Thanks. But they need food. So that's part of the Keep the Faith Fund. The other part is a $500 grant to any small business owner in the city of Belfast that'll fill out a 5-minute application, paper app or online, and they will receive a $500 grant. Our concern is both. Small businesses have been shut since March for over a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they will continue to be closed, it looks like, through May 15th. If not longer. And then after that, if they open, will anybody have any money to come? And will people feel comfortable walking around town in masks with gloves? It's a new normal, and we're all going through it together. I don't know. I'm 60, never had anything remotely like this in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep asking for historical standards, and I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see, other things that popped into my mind here. I understand, I think I heard you mention at the city council meeting that the people of the fabric store are producing
masks
and stuff.
Yeah, I think I brought that up, and I don't know how you'd get those, but I can find out. And I can't even... What's the name of the store?
Fiddlehead Artisan
okay, thank
Supply.
You. Thank you.
There you go.
So in downtown, they have a lot of fabric.
Yeah.
And the owner said it's going to make some masks and stuff. And I think they are, if I'm not mistaken, probably donating some of that stuff to the hospitals.
To the hospital and maybe Tall Pines or whatever. But yeah, okay. That's one little bit of news. The other thing that crossed my mind is that another source for food is I've gotten a bunch of stuff at Ocean State. They have a fair amount of non-perishable stuff, canned goods.
How about the entire left-hand corner of the store?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so, and and let's talk about Ocean State, because that's the old Ames, which is probably pre-you living here.
Yeah.
The old Ames department store just to the left of Hannaford's. And Ocean State has really stepped up its game.
Mm-hmm.
And... as a corporation, I've gone in a couple of times to get tarps or things. This sweatshirt I'm wearing, and it was the cleanest in and out. It was the cleanest. The lady at the counter with the gloves. I had to wait the first time I went there. I didn't know what a piece of tape on the floor meant, so the guy left in front of me, and I started walking in. And she goes, "Excuse me, can you go behind the tape?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she literally wiped down everything. And then the counter, the pen, the stuff.
Yep.
And then she goes, "Okay, you may now approach." And I was like, oh, I felt safe.
Yep.
They are paying their employees an extra $2 an hour. They are taxing me when I buy something, a special surcharge tax. And that tax is going to be collected by all the Ocean State jobs and all the purchases into a pool, and when all this crap is over, they're going to pony that up to their employees as a bonus.
Cool.
So And a lot of companies are stepping up like that. It's not just Ocean State. I was mightily impressed, and we'll remember that. And I think that's the important thing that we're all learning is we'll remember
the good actors.
The good actors.
Yep.
5 years, 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
we'll remember, and yep. we will not judge, but we will utilize them mm-hmm. when and if we can.
Yeah. A reminder, you're listening to a forum with Belfast Mayor Eric Sanders. We've got another 15 minutes or so on the air if we need it. The number here is 338-2277 if you'd like to call in and speak to the mayor.
Well, I just wanted to add Brenda Bonneville is mm-hmm. A pretty good friend of mine. She's also on the council. And she had spoken to Ms. Haggerty when she... this morning, and that Ms. Haggerty just moved here from away from the Big Apple where I used to live. So anyway, that would make sense that she was asking where to go for. So it's the things that you don't think about. That's why I like it when people trip me up, because it slows you down, but it also broadens the knowledge that you can give to people. It broadens it out.
Speaking of giving knowledge, can you remind us again of that, the number to call to get
City
a hold
Hall?
Of the City Hall?
Yeah. It's 338-3370. And so there's live people, right? We are, I don't want to say the rotating staff down there, but they got people working from home, but maybe they come in one day a week. So they're, but we have the clerk's offices, you know, everything's open via phone. Mm-hmm. Everything's open via computer or fax or email because there's a live body, but they will answer the phone, and you don't have to go through the procedures.
All right. Speaking of answering the phone, this is Belfast Community Radio.
Question for Mayor Sanders, and you might know this too, Vic.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Mayor Sanders and Vic. Thank you for having this program on. It's great. I do have a question for you, which is, any idea when the transfer station is going to open for recyclable materials? I know that we're starting to get a mountain full, and
you may have missed the beginning part
That's
of
okay.
the show,
we'll,
but we'll do it again.
Right? Yeah. So first of all, thanks for calling in. We had reports of somebody going up to the transfer station with just metal cans and asking if they could toss them and getting a yes. So, but I have heard no change as of right now. I have heard other towns and cities are starting to open up a day a week or 2 days a week for that. We are not there yet from a safety point of view, and that is... And that's okay. I understand your concern with your mountain of recyclables, but you can understand our position with our employees too. So right
Safety.
Now we are erring on the side of caution, and I do know the governor's talking about, you know, sheltering at home till May 15th. I'm starting to get the question a lot about the transfer station, which now means the council is getting it a lot because I tell them about it, and
uh-huh.
that also other citizens ask them. Right now, it would be a decision, I think, from the city manager, Aaron Herbig, and Mike McFadden, the department head out there.
Yeah.
And we are meeting weekly now, so I will put this into communications at the meeting, because sometimes you plant the seed, and it's not going to happen immediately, but we are, you know, we try to follow the public's urges, too. And
yeah.
right now, spring cleaning, winter hopefully is over. We only got 14 inches of snow last week. but you know what I'm saying. And,
yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And y'all stay safe.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That was Carrie B. Just by the way, her show comes on as soon as we go off the air.
I recognize that voice.
That's Carrie B., one of the board members of the radio station and one of our prolific DJs.
Really nice lady.
Yeah. So,
well, that's all the news in Lake Wobegon. So, I mean, so...
Oops.
Oh, Carrie hung up on us.
I didn't
push the right... All the buttons. There we go.
So I hate to utilize Guns N' Roses, but, you know, I think we have to have a little patience. Yeah. I think, so spring is here. I was talking to Bob Richards yesterday when I was walking Henry down at the Steamboat Landing, and he's the public works director.
Yeah.
And Bob said, do you notice this week there's more people out? I said, yeah. Well, the weather's starting to get a little warmer. And so he's like, yeah, a lot of people out walking, biking, but also more cars driving around. So with spring comes that main thing after 6 months of winter where you just want to go out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going on a little bit. And I would just urge people to maintain a safe, healthy, 6 feet apart social distancing. Do not ride in cars if it's not your immediate family. That's part of the shelter at home. And that is specifically for the high school kids out there. Don't do it.
Yep.
And if your parents are telling you it's okay, I'm telling you it's not, because it's not.
All right. We got another call here.
Mike, what?
All right. Let me press all the
buttons.
We got
to syndicate this. Hey.
Belfast Community Radio. Hello.
Hi, Vic. This is Brenda Bonneville calling for...
Oh, my goodness gracious. How you doing?
Hey, hello.
Anything you want to add from a city perspective?
Well, here's the thing. You touched on Tall Pines earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And I just want to kind of circle back to that for a moment, because I've heard from a couple people, actually one just about an hour and a half ago, you know, and there's a lot of talk, obviously, and people are, you know, hearing different things, and then that's how, you know, rumor mills get started and whatnot. So I'm just trying to get your perspective on, you know, sort of what's what, and then maybe just put it out there over the airwaves this afternoon for a moment. A gentleman came up to me and said, he was keeping social distance, I want to add. he said that he's been hearing things, advice from people who live around here and who maybe don't live around here, and that Belfast is a hot spot and no one should come to Belfast and stay away because of the whole Tall Pines outbreak. So I was just hoping that perhaps we could take this opportunity, you in particular, to just kind of dispel that little, you know, that kind of...
Well, yeah, let's dispel that right there.
You know what I mean?
Belfast is fine, but I would say that Tall Pines is a noted hotspot by the Maine CDC, because it's a nursing home care facility, and it's had an outbreak of cases in its property. That does not mean the city of Belfast is a hotspot, however. We traipsed along for, Brenda, how many weeks with one case, two cases in the entire county?
Right.
And common sense will tell you, in a care facility, and people that work there have to, you know, people that work there don't live there 24 hours a day. So somehow the coronavirus got in there, the germs. But it is so desperately touching to me that we support Tall Pines, that we, you know, they are looking for workers, obviously.
Right.
And it is so important to me to say that, because I was talking, I don't know if you read that article on in the Portland Press Herald that came out this week, pretty much kicking them in the teeth right when they didn't need it.
Right, right.
And, you know, that really kind of frosted me. I got a little defensive because they don't need that crap right now. What they need is support. And the council talked about that the other night. I do feel that the community and Waldo County is supporting Tall Pines. Their outbreak is no worse than the other outbreaks throughout the state in the same sort of fashion. But why it's a hot spot, when we say hot spot, we mean it's a concentrated area of noted cases. Not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
What they need to figure out is how can they manage the people in there that have it and the people in there that don't? And you don't work there, I don't work there. We are on the outside looking in. I did hear that the next day, the next morning, that someone overnight had placed red hearts all along the entrance there to the building. And I'm starting to see a public reaction to the illness. I think we all started off, and we continue to be scared of it, or nervous about it. But I think as time goes on, we're also, as a community, starting to embrace each other and say, we're gonna get to the finish line and pass together. And that's right now. Tall Pines needs our love and support. And they need people to apply for jobs.
Right.
They don't need pizza. They don't need food.
No.
We'll buy them some food.
Of course.
They need employees.
Right.
And they need to know we're there to help them. But then you ask yourself, what can I do? I'm not a doctor. I don't work for the Maine CDC. But the Maine CDC is focused on Tall Pines in a good way,
mm-hmm.
in a helpful way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine anyone being any more comfortable walking around any town in Maine any differently than Belfast. I can imagine that this town, Belfast, I've seen more community spirit and determination than I thought I'd ever see, quicker than I thought. So the public response is practicing safe things and limiting going out and following the rules and loving your neighbor. And when you can't go out a lot, loving your neighbor can include loving your community. And right now, the best thing that we can do for Tall Pines is to love them. That's where I stand, Brenda.
Right. Thank you so much. And so let's work together to dispel any sort of hysteria that just because there does unfortunately happen to be, you know, quite a concentration, unfortunately, in Tall Pines, that, you know, Belfast itself is not any worse off because of the fact that Tall Pines is having this surge right now. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up and let you speak to that because I have been hearing from people who are, you know, getting increasingly nervous, and I think it's just kind of how things are now with all of this, but in particular with Tall Pines, you know, being the outbreak, and so I just want you to speak to that, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, thank you, It was lovely to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice,
and
too. Thank you.
We will see you, so to speak, Tuesday night.
I'll see you on the screen, yes. And you all stay safe and healthy out there. And thank you, Vic, for all you do.
Sure.
And be well.
Very good. Thanks for calling in, Brenda.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that'll pretty much use up our time slot.
There you go, Cowboy.
Appreciate all the callers. And a reminder that this will be replayed tomorrow for those who tell your friends to tune in and get some information tomorrow at noon on the radio. Also, the Belfast City Council meetings will be on the radio 7 o'clock every Tuesday.
And you and I are going to do this every week until the turkeys go home. Because
right. I mean, eventually we may need to shift over to electronic means. But for now, the radio studio is still operating. Almost all of our people are doing their shows from home.